Once again, this is a rare opportunity to ask a few questions, and the same rules apply as before, so anybody who has a question from this side.
I just noticed in the board minutes a few references to inflation. I'm just wondering, what do you think the risks of inflation dropping faster than to envisage are, considering the lot of IMF and talking about a period of disinflation or possibly reinflation and all these kinds of things?
Thanks. Well, as you will have seen from the table I just presented, we expect inflation to gradually return to around a 2.5% pace over the forecast period. There are factors working in both directions for that forecast. We have to remember, when we're comparing ourselves with the rest of the world, that we've come into this episode with stronger inflation pressures than other advanced economies. If you do the comparisons of core inflation rates, Australia's core inflation has been stronger than it's been in the other countries that we would normally compare ourselves to, and that's really a consequence of the Australian economy having been stronger over the past few years. So we're starting from that position with a higher starting point. Obviously, both global and Australian conditions are now softening. The outlook for growth in demand and output has weakened all around the world. That's an environment where inflation can be expected to fall. One factor working against that is the depreciation of the Australian dollar exchange rate. And in the way that we've adjusted our forecast to allow for that, we believe that in the short term, it actually takes a bit longer for underlying inflation to come down. But once exchange rate effects start to drop out of the calculation, the effects that predominate are the slower growth. And so we believe that towards the end of the forecast period, that'll be putting significant downward pressure on inflation. One further point to note is that we'll be getting quite a bit of help in the short term from falling oil prices. And so one of the factors that makes us feel a bit more confident that inflation's coming down is that the headline CPI should be dropping quite smartly below the underlying series in the near future, and that should help to bring down inflation expectations. I have to say I'm not really a spokesman on the response of the banking system, other than to make the general point that we have cut rates substantially over the last 3 months, and most of that has been passed on to end borrowers, and we do think that that will have a significant supportive effect for the economy.
Mr. Eadie, a couple of questions. One, the forecasts in the statement on monetary policy of the most recent statement, did they take into account a downward revision from the IMF for world growth to 2.2%, or did that come after the statement was finalised? That's the first question. The second is, if you had to put a number on it, how would you rate the probability of us entering recession?
Thank you for those questions. I must say I'm grateful to Mr. Shinohara for pointing out how difficult it is to be frank when we have media in the room, so it saves me from having to point that out myself. The answer to the first question is yes, we did take that into account. Those numbers were just being released at the time that we finalised our report, so we knew about that. And in fact, the numbers for the world economy that we've based our forecasts on, even with the IMF downward revisions, our numbers are still lower than the IMF numbers. So that's been a consistent pattern right through this year, that we have felt that the outlook for the world economy was weaker than some other official forecasters were factoring in, and so we've built that into our outlook. On the forecasts, all I can say is that we are forecasting growth to trough at 1%, so I just reaffirm that that is the number that we're working with.
Jessica Irvine from the Sydney Morning Herald. We have retail sales data out this week that show retail sales flatlining at a national level, but contracting quite significantly in New South Wales, and that's happening across a range of indicators. Are you surprised by how poorly New South Wales is performing? How do you go about setting monetary policy when news is slowdown is entirely concentrated in New South Wales?
Well, it's true that on some indicators, and retail sales is one of them, New South Wales is looking quite a bit weaker than the rest of the country, but it's nonetheless true that a slowdown is occurring quite broadly based across the economy. And my answer to how we deal with that is the same one. People from the Reserve Bank are often asked this question, and it's always going to be true that there's some regional variation in economic performance. There was a long period of time back in the 90s when New South Wales was overperforming the rest of the country, and people wanted to know how we would respond to that. The fact is that we only have one monetary policy for the country as a whole, and so we have to run policy with a view to achieving the objectives that have been set for us for the country as a whole.
Mr. Eden, Kai Chappell of the Sky News Business Channel. The last couple of rate cuts have, I guess, surprised a lot of institutions with their predictions. They've been quite vocal in their complaints about the cuts the ABS has made to the economic data they operate with. How concerned are you about this widening gulf between what the Reserve Bank knows and in terms of what other economists in the private sector do you see that as an issue?
I think the notion that we have access to a lot of secret information about the economy that can't be known by private sector economists is greatly exaggerated. It's true that we have an extensive business liaison program, and so we do pick up things by going out and talking to businesses every month. As I've said before, we talk to about 100 businesses a month, and that's a very important part of our economic intelligence gathering. But having said that, I really think that the idea that market economists don't have access to the information they need is greatly exaggerated. We're all looking at the same published data. The fact is that the current period is a period of very high uncertainty. Things have been changing very quickly. That's one of the main themes that I tried to bring out in my talk today, is just how quickly things have been changing, particularly in the last 2 or 3 months. And in an environment like that, I think it's inevitable that not everybody is going to come to the same conclusions when they look at the data. Things are changing quickly. People will form different views. That's just the way things are. But our job is to make the best decisions that we can, given the imperfect information that's available to us.